My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV in Richmond. You can listen to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 on your FM dial. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you as always by friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Eric Bickle. Going to get back into the Commanders' first preseason game, Jaden Daniels' debut, with John Keim, who covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Hey, John.
What up, guys? How are you?
Okay.
So we only saw one drive, but it was a pretty nice drive. Your first impressions of Jaden?
Hey, get that gold jacket, man. First of all, you always have to take into account, okay, the Jets aren't playing their defensive stars. I get it. The things that I like about him, though, are things that he's been showing, right? So, like, the first pass he threw, a little screen pass, a little bit over-anxious on it, et cetera. But the 42-yard pass was really, really nice. And I think it kind of encompassed a lot of what he offers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, changing the play at the line. I really like then how he doesn't get over-anxious. He holds the safety. The safety, mm-hmm. who's dropping into, like, a deep middle, is turning the other way because of how Daniels is where he's looking, et cetera. So that it opens up the outside for De'Ami Brown. Then he drops in a dime. And I also think that, you know, a lot of what he offers is that big play ability. And there have been times not every quarterback, I think, throws that play, because it's not like De'Ami's just wide open or anything like that. You got to give your guy a chance. And I think he understands you have to give your guys a chance. And that's what he does. And so I think that's what he offers. And then obviously the touchdown, we know he can run, but I think that was good. But what I also like, too, is you don't – from all the quarterbacks, too, I think this bodes well, but they're you don't see a lot of indecision out there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something you've seen throughout the summer as well. So, you know, you don't want to go overboard on one series, but I do think it was a good showing for him, and it's why. You know, you don't change that play if you're not confident and comfortable in what you're doing. And, you know, I don't want to make this the world's greatest audible, but it's one of the things that we have to go by, and I do think it highlights certainly some of what he offers.
Just want to get your prediction. Doesn't mean anything, but we were debating last week how many runs we think they're going to have designed for Jaden Daniels per game. My guess was 4 or more. What do you think?
I think it would. I don't know. I would probably say just around 4. That would be about right. Because I don't know that you're going to want to have. I think you want to do it because clearly, it helps regulate the defense. We've seen that here in the past. And, you know, I always go back to even when Robert was here and you do those zone reads, their feeling was, and you go back and watch them, is that it protected the quarterback more. Where the quarterbacks got hurt and where Robert would get hurt is on the scramble. So, you know, I think you can do that. And I do think probably around there, I think that's a good number. But I don't know that you're going to want – I think the good thing for him is I don't think you have to rely on that with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I think that that's a – I think he – because he's a – I think he's a more – as a good passer coming out of college, that you can do different things with him. But it is – the other thing, too, and this is – this goes back to Kingsbury, what you saw in that game, too, even within his – in Jaden's one series, is I think there's an understanding – of what they're operating with and not putting him back there and having to, you know, go 1-2-3 through your progressions. And you know what I mean? Like you don't have your starting tackles in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, he did a good job, I think, of protecting him while also giving them freedom to make a play. And, you know, so, but I think part of protecting him will be running some of those zone reads because it just, it opens it up for others and, you know, regulates the D.
I love the up-tempo, no-huddle stuff that they did.
Yeah.
I feel like half of it was no-huddle, which I love, which also shows that Jaden has a full grasp of the offense, right? He's not struggling to get guys in position and to execute that. I thought that was very exciting. What is your best expectation for the next game? I want to talk about more guys on this one, but for Jaden, do you think he'd play as much as a half in the next game, or is that too much?
I don't know. I think it's going to depend on what's the O-line situation like.
Right.
Uh-huh. So, you know, I think there's, you know, then what, how much does he, I would expect him going into the preseason, I would have expected him to play like one or two series in the first one and then maybe, you know, a good quarter or so more in the second one. But I don't know that that's still going to be the case. I think, I'd say let's see how it goes through that game or through the joint practice, you know, for sure. But I think that's a good point too that you bring up with the no huddle, the hurry up. They've done that a lot in practice, and you know when you're doing that, you're not necessarily dipping into every play in your playbook, but you do have to have a good level of comfort with the playbook. And I think that's the other thing. I'm glad you brought that up because that's another thing that he certainly has as well. But let's see what happens through the joint practice, how much that he works there, what the O-line situation is like, et cetera.
What are you hearing on the injuries to the starters on the O-line?
So with Brandon Coleman and Dan Quinn said after the game, with the pec/shoulder, he called them day-to-day, then week-to-week. So I think it's just going to be a wait and see. That's a feel. With Andrew Wiley, he's got that tightness, not sure exactly where.
Yeah.
But he's got the tightness, and I talked to him, I don't know, what's today, Monday? Probably last Sunday, I think it was. And at that time, he felt like he would be back out by the end of last week, essentially, right? So I would think that he's very soon. He's been dressing and he's out there in pads. He just hasn't been doing full teamwork. So I would think so. And Lucas, he missed for a personal reason, so I would think he'd be back pretty soon.
John, let's talk about some of the others, especially the skill position guys on offense. I thought Sinnott obviously flashed. Yeah. I mean, a guy looked like freaking Gronkowski at one point. I was so excited to see that. I thought Brian Robinson, who I like him, he's fine, whatever, but I thought he looked good, which is kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. And then
Diami.
I mean, to be honest with you, Diami needs a performance like that, and I thought he made a couple plays, which was good for him.
Diami has one thing that coaches love, which is speed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and you have a coach that wants to get the ball down the field and a quarterback who can get the ball down the field. That's going to give guys like Diami Brown a shot. And he's been working when you're watching them, like, primarily, the first three receivers have been obviously Terry, then Dotson, and Diami when they're working in groups and stuff.
Zacchaeus also looked good, right?
Zacchaeus also looks good. He's a slot guy, and I think he's got some quickness. You know, he had a couple nice punt returns. The one thing on the punt returns, like, you'd like to see him catch the ball a little bit smoother, mm-hmm. but he can do something with it after he gets it. And so I think that, but yeah, and that's what we've seen throughout camp as well. So, like, to be honest, like, those four have been, you know, guys. I think, you know, Tremaine has made plays in camp, and he had a nice grab over the middle the other night. McCaffrey's still kind of coming along. I think there's some things that he can do. I think he can play physical. I think he's still adjusting to, you know, you're not seeing like a lot of these big plays from him yet. And so, but I think, you know, he's only been playing receiver for 2 years. And it's the first time, you know what I mean? So there's still an adjustment period for him where you're doing it at the college level and getting used to that. Now you got to do it at this level. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, and there are definitely things you can see, get some stuff quick underneath. But so I think, you know, we'll see how he comes along. But Sinnott, that's what he offers. What we saw the other night is exactly what he's shown in college. And then he also offers the versatility of being able to block and do things from multiple spots. And you know, that's one of the things they like about him. But the run after the catch is what we saw the other night was what he showed in college, that ability. I mean, that one, it was, I think a guy hits him at the 46, mm-hmm. drags him for a few yards, mm-hmm. another guy jumps in, a couple other guys jump mm-hmm. in, and he still gets down to the 21. Like, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, how a stadium reacts to those kind of runs. Like, you have guys, you want to, the other thing is, like, if you want to be a physical team, you get guys like that who are physical. And I think that's what, you know, Sanders still, you know, smaller guy, but he plays bigger than he is, right? So, you know, Frankie Louvu, I mean, guys like that, you want to play it a certain way, you get guys like that.
Talking to John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. All right, anything jump out at you on the defensive side of the ball?
I just brought up two of them, Louvu and, I mean, but like Louvu in practice, again, you see the speed and you see the physical and you saw how he attacks guys. And I think he's going to be a fun one to watch. And Sam was still, again, like you're trying to kind of dive into a couple plays to see, but what he showed, there was one play where, I mean, it's just like, I like his ability to get to the ball and, you know, how, and he gets there and he plays, again, he plays to me bigger than he is. So that was good. But, you know, the tackles aren't in there. I think Jamin Davis played the run really well and played with a lot of power, mm-hmm. the quickness with his hands and the pads. I think he kind of stunned the tackle the first time he played against them, still developing as a pass rusher. But, you know, again, I go back to like with Diami, with coaches are always reluctant to get rid of, or to give up on, I should say, size and speed. And Davis has that. So I think they're going to be very patient with how he comes along there if he shows moments like that. So, you know, I think you have to wonder, like, where's the corner situation going to go? Mm. Is, you know, Emmanuel Forbes going to have to play? I think he's going to have to play better for them, you know? So I think that's something that you have to pay attention to over the next few preseason games.
Do you think we're going to see some of those defensive starters more in the Miami game?
Probably, I would think so.
Yeah.
But again, I think it goes back to how much they work in the joint practice to see how much they play. And I don't, you know, it's funny because with Dan Quinn, because you haven't covered them for a preseason, you don't always know what's their philosophy with playing certain guys. And I know going into last game, it was like if guys worked a lot during the joint practice on Thursday, they weren't going to play much on Saturday. So if that holds true, then we'll see. But I would think that some of those guys are going to play more, especially the young guys. Like, you're going to want to get those guys some more reps, I would think. Mm-hmm. So, and then also, like, if you're, to be honest, like, again, I brought up Forbes, the guys like that, like, if you want to, depending on what you want to see from them and how much more you need to see from them, then that could take into account as well. But I don't know how much they will play yet.
Yeah.
Who are some of the guys that have been around for a few years that really got to watch their back? I think we've talked about them with you a couple times. Fedarian Matthews got to be one of those guys, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And he had a couple nice plays the other night. And then, you know, other times where it's like, all right, you obviously have to do better here. But he had a couple nice, I think he had one stop. I can't remember if it was for no gain or something like that in the hole. Mm-hmm. Nice play, getting off a double team. So, but yes, I think he's a guy that you have to say, like, these guys don't care where you were drafted in before this year. It's irrelevant to them. So if you haven't shown a whole lot, then yes, I think you're a guy who needs to show a whole lot. And I think I would put Mathis in that category for sure.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to the offense, Kingsbury obviously has a really good reputation. In college, he threw the ball all the time, but once he got to the NFL, he started to run the ball. He was more balanced. Bienemy was a disaster last year, and he also didn't have great talent. But how much of a plus is Kingsbury, just based on what you're seeing in practice, what you saw on Saturday, who you know, guys that you're talking to, the players you're talking to, how much of a plus is he going to be, in your opinion?
I think a big plus. Now, the part of the thing last year, too, is they gave Bienemy too much freedom to do whatever he was going to do, right? And so there wasn't – well, I think here there is much more of a vision of how – not just what Kingsbury wants to do, but what does Dan Quinn want to see from his offense and the style, right? I don't think you're going to see, you know, them dropping back 70% of the time and – without Quinn getting over there and saying, we're not doing this, right? Mm-hmm. And not that, you know what I mean? I just think just because it's like, that's not who you want to be. So I think, but I think you don't bring him on here unless you have that shared vision. So I think it will be, like I said the other night, I felt like there are a couple things. One, you don't see the indecision by the quarterbacks. I mean, despite, you know, even on my podcast, I'm talking about the O-line, but you didn't see them under siege too much, right? It wasn't like there were plays that were, you know, where the line didn't do a good job, but the ball's getting out. And so it lessens the mistakes. It helps others look better. And that comes from quarterbacks being comfortable with what they're being asked to do. So, you know, I think, it's been a good change. I want to see how it plays out, but so far it's been a good change for sure. I mean, guys certainly seem happy, but I think when you talk to guys too, like, they're happy for multiple reasons. I mean, so a lot of that optimism comes from number five.
Right.
I mean, that's where, you know, and I think what I do think with Kingsbury is he knows how to work with young quarterbacks. And again, I felt like he did a good job with how he called the game the other night to put them in a spot where you're not being asked to, you know, go 1, 2, 3, 4 with your reads. Not that they can't do it, but that if you're not sure how things are going to hold up, and I'm not saying this is why I did it, but I think that's what you see. They're putting him in favorable spots, right? And so I think that goes back to the offensive coordinator. So that's a good thing. But I do think, like I said, when you the biggest reason I think they have for optimism is because of what they see from number five, not just on the practice field, but away from it.
Always good to hear from you, yep. John. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
See you, JK.
Thank you, John.
John Keim covers the Commanders for ESPN.com.
Everyone's
we'll get
very
back
positive.
Into the Commanders a little bit later in the show, but there was a lot of speculation about your trip to Pebble Beach, Jason. Got a lot of junkie sleuths out there who were trying to see if you landed on time, if you left on time. We'll get into Jace's trip to Pebble Beach and Napa next here on the.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
John, I just had my first taste of shoe fly pie. Have you ever had shoe fly pie?
From where? Shoe fly. Who made
it? Brought it back from Amish country.
Oh, I've never had it.
That's another trip we got to get into. I guess we're going to get into that one later. That one sounded like a disaster.
So you had a lot of stress. EB missed it. You had a lot of stress about your trip. And Cakes and I mocked you because you said you were getting picked up by Chariots for Hire and you were flying first class. You weren't going on the private jet. You were flying first class.
Mm-hmm.
And then
on Monday morning,
somebody tweeted us and said, you won't believe this. And I don't know if it's true or not. You never confirmed that I sent you a text asking. You never confirmed it. But somebody tweeted us and said, oh, you guys are going to have so much material because Jason's flight was delayed by an hour and 41 minutes. I don't know how the guy nailed it.
How did these guys find out? Did I say on air?
I guess you must have said what time I was flying. No, but you said you were flying.
What airline I was flying? Did I say that?
Internet sleuths. So the guy said.
Couldn't believe it.
You can tell me. He said, Jason's flight to Phoenix delayed for almost 2 hours. His flight then from Phoenix to Monterey, that only happens 3 times a week. So he's screwed.
He pretty much nailed it.
He did.
And I don't know how he found out what flight I was on. I must have said it on air. I must have said what airline was on American. I must have said what time I was leaving. I must have said I was flying into Phoenix and then connecting to Monterey. But I got unlucky and then I got lucky. I was unlucky because when I boarded the plane,
which is Thursday, right?
Wednesday night.
That's right.
I boarded the plane, and then as we're boarding, a big storm cell comes in right over the airport. Mm-hmm. All right, and I was looking on the weather map. It wasn't all over the DC metro area. It was just literally right on top of Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
So we were delayed for about 40 minutes based on that. Pilot came on the radio and said, we're delayed. They're not letting flights go or come in right now. Shouldn't take long. The storm just cleared out. I mean, it was fine. And then we heard flights taking off around us for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pilot said, look, we've been cleared for takeoff. We're ready to go. We just don't have the personnel. He asked for the ramp personnel. I don't know what ramp personnel means. Mm-hmm. Are those the guys that kind of guide you out of the gate?
I assume sounds like it.
All right. So whatever. They weren't there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Reagan National is a complete nightmare. There's nothing seamless about it. I hate that airport. But so we were waiting for these workers, ramp personnel, before we could take off and leave the gate.
So you've now been inside the plane for an hour and a half.
40 minutes for the weather delay, and then an hour on top of that because they just didn't have these guys that they needed. So it was an hour and 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. I told the flight attendant, look, I got a connection in Phoenix at whatever time it was. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, that's not looking good. And I said, well, what does that mean? He goes, well, you're probably either going to have to spend the night in the airport or you're going to have to go find a hotel and spend the night in Phoenix and then catch a flight to Monterey the next day. Mm-hmm. But I looked at the flights to Monterey the next day, and they were all later than my tee time because we were playing Spyglass the next day at noon. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, all right, so your tee times, because you were going to go to Napa, your tee times were Thursday and Friday?
Tee times were Thursday at Spyglass, Pebble on Friday, and Pebble on Saturday. And I was leaving Sunday to go to Napa. So, you know, we finally get in the air an hour and 41 minutes after the planned takeoff, the scheduled takeoff. And, yeah, I'm freaking out because I figured I'm not going to be able to get to Monterey in
was
time
the
for the first
take. Was the rest of your group on your flight? Or
no,
were you the only one from the golf trip?
They went on an earlier flight.
They're already there.
They're already there. And since I had to work, I couldn't leave until 5:30.
Right.
I mean, I could have taken off on Wednesday, but I hate taking off just for a travel day.
Right. And it would have been two foursomes, right?
Two foursomes. Yes.
Eight of you.
We have eight of us. So, you know, so fast forward, the flight attendant comes up to me about 40 minutes before we land in Phoenix and says, you know what? The connection is getting in a little bit later into Phoenix. Ooh. So you might get lucky. And I said, what do you mean I'm going to get lucky? He goes, you got about a 30% chance of making that flight. So,
and you need to make that flight or you're going to miss your tee time.
I'm not going to get to Monterey, the Pebble Beach, until
later on
Thursday.
Is there any way you could rent a car or something to drive? Or is it way too far? I have no
idea. From where? From Phoenix?
Yeah, I have no idea how far it will drive.
Phoenix
like 8 hours or something?
Phoenix to Napa Valley?
I have no idea.
No, it's impossible.
Yeah.
So we're about 40 minutes before the flight attendant comes on and says, all right, you might have an outside shot of getting in. We land. The flight attendant gets on the intercom and says, anybody who does not have a connection, please stay seated because there's a lot of people that do have connections and they need to get to those flights. Mm-hmm. And of course, when we land, everybody gets up because no one cares.
It'd be about an 11-hour drive.
Okay.
It's possible, but 11 hours.
Well, I don't know where I'm going, middle of the night.
Yeah. I know you don't. But could you have flown to San Francisco and then drove? I mean, I don't know. I have no idea.
I could have.
Yeah.
But it probably wouldn't have worked out.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you were in first class, so it didn't matter that everybody stood up, right?
Right. But there were still five people in front of me. I'm going, excuse me. I'm trying to get to the door. Mm-hmm. Of course, the door is taking forever to open. Mm-hmm. Finally, I get out of the plane and I get into the terminal.
Are you running? Are
I'm
you
running.
O.J. Simpson?
It's just right across the terminal from the gate we were at. So I get to the terminal and it says boarding closed.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I said, OMG.
Is the door closed?
Everything. It just says boarding closed. And I went up to the girl and I says, I'm supposed to catch a flight to Monterey. She goes, oh, yeah, that flight's late. Boarding closed was for the flight before that.
Oh, you got hooked.
And I said,
because they had a delay.
So then I got lucky. They had a delay too. So I got lucky. I was able to make that flight into Monterey and I didn't miss that flight. But
so you got in late.
It looked bad. I got in at midnight. Yeah.
Well, that's fine. But you still got there.
Yeah. But I mean, I was freaking out I was stressed out for, you know, 3.5 hours, 4 hours on the flight to Phoenix. Hmm. I still can't believe someone knew that. It's crazy.
I mean, they sent like flight logs and everything. I don't know.
Yeah. So
you didn't do any gummies on the flight or anything, right? Because you were by yourself.
Didn't do any gummies.
Did you do gummies when you got there?
I had one gummy, and I can't remember what day it was. I think it was on Saturday.
Did it knock the poop out of you or no? It was so small. It was
a 10 milligram. I said I was only going to eat the 5 milligram. I ate the 10 milligram.
Uh-oh.
And I felt it.
You did.
Yeah. And it was right before dinner.
Uh-huh.
But it was fine. I only did the one.
Gummies, huh?
Oh, they like the gummies. They like them.
Did anybody get stupid?
Not necessarily from the gummies, but
from drinking.
Yeah. I mean, we played Spyglass on. Oh, I got a story for Spyglass. So Spyglass, we played at noon on Thursday, and so you know, we wanted to get breakfast before we played. So we went up to this place called The Gallery. Now, The Gallery, if you've ever been to Pebble Beach, is this breakfast spot on the second floor of all the shops there at Pebble. And it overlooks the putting green, and it overlooks the number one tee box at Pebble Beach. It's a great spot. So we walk into The Gallery at like 10 a.m. to have some breakfast. First person I see, who do you think it is?
Jim Nantz.
Nope. It's your favorite Redskins coach ever.
Ron Rivera.
Ron Rivera.
Nice.
Wow. Ron Rivera is the first person I see. He's just sitting there at the check-in, you know, waiting for a table. So I went up to Ron.
Oh, no.
I said, what's up, Ron? How you doing? You don't know me, but, you know, I told him my name. And I said, remember the radio show you did a couple years ago every Monday? Yeah. Did we have him on Mondays?
I don't know.
I said every Monday. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So he remembered that. He just didn't know me by face or by name.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a butt nice guy, man. I know he's a terrible coach. He did a terrible job. But we were talking about he's from Pebble Beach. He grew up in Monterey.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was asking him about this house and where does he live and how long you been there. Are you going to play today? He said, no, I'm going to go play the Hay. The Hay is Tiger Woods' little nine-hole course.
Uh-huh.
But he's just a nice dude.
Yeah, I met him at that event where, was it Bones? I remember I did like a Q&A with Bones. When Phil Mickelson's caddy.
Oh, yeah, right.
And Ron Rivera was there. And
yes.
What nice guy.
Everybody
is.
I just says thought it was, feels awkward. Nice
I just thought it was funny. That was the first person I saw
did you
on
see
Thursday
anybody
morning.
Else? You didn't see any famous chefs? Did you bump into Scotty?
Scotty Cameron?
Scotty Cameron.
I didn't see Scotty Cameron. I did see, and only golf fans and PGA Tour fans would appreciate this, but in Napa Valley, I stayed at this place called the Silverado Resort.
Mm-hmm.
Silverado Resort is where the PGA Tour hosts an event every September. Thigala won it last year. Max Homa won it the year before. The name of the tournament's changed over the last couple of years. But my wife and daughters and I went out to walk the golf course early in the morning one day. And we walked the back nine, so I knew there wasn't going to be any players out there. That was at 8:30 in the morning. There's no players out there yet. And a golf cart's coming behind me as we're walking. And he goes, excuse me. And I said, oh, how you doing? Just want to make sure you guys know you're walking the golf course. Watch out for balls.
Huh.
This guy had a ball retriever in his hand. You know, one of those long poles. I said, oh, my God, Johnny Miller. I said, Johnny, what's up, buddy? And so we talked to Johnny.
Why the hell does he have a ball retriever?
I don't know.
He's just killing time doing his morning walk. It's just picking up golf balls or something?
Well, yeah, he was in the golf cart.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So hey, he was looking for balls.
You see a shiny Pro V1, you're going to grab that.
It turns Johnny out, Miller. Like, I've even heard of him.
Johnny Miller did, you know, NBC golf coverage forever. He won two majors, won a U.S. Open. He finished tied for second at the Masters three times. I mean, Johnny Miller is a huge name.
Right. I'm assuming he's super rich.
Like, where was he again?
He lives in Pebble Beach, but he's got a condo at Silverado, which happened to be right next to the condo that we rented.
Maybe he's out of Bendover. So he's got to get his balls out.
I don't know. It was just funny.
No, he probably, you know how people have just their morning rituals and you're older. He probably walks around and picks up golf balls.
He might have. I just thought it was funny.
Maybe he gives them to his grandkids or something.
But out of all the people, you know, I didn't know that he obviously lived. I didn't know he lived in Pebble Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that he had a condo at Silverado. It was the one right next to us. Saw him every day.
Was he butt nice or was he prickly?
He's a nice guy. He's kind of nice guy, but prickly. A little bit prickly.
Yeah. He's how old is he?
He's like 76, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 77.
How does he walk? Is his walk hurting? Or does he walk?
No, he seemed to be okay.
Yeah.
How many days were you in Napa then? Did you bounce from
Pebble Beach on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, left Sunday. My man Carl hooked me up with a driver on Sunday morning. It took 3 hours to get to Napa from Pebble Beach.
And then did you hit a bunch of my cousin said he was going to send you recommendations. He never did.
Look, Napa.
Did you go to a bunch of different
wineries? We went to four, but my youngest daughter's not a big drinker and she likes to just sip on wine. So after about the second one, she was just kind of done with it.
Yeah.
But I got to thank my man Matt Carlin, who owns Metropolitan Hospitality. He set me up with three really nice ones. And those wine tastings are not cheap. Because if you sit there for an hour and a half, they're not cheap per person. And he hooked it. And
I mean, the scenery is beautiful, right? Did you appreciate
scenery's great, and it's different because it's just vineyards. This is grapes everywhere.
Yeah.
grapes. And all of the wines you see when you go through the Harris Teeter,
yeah.
You see all these wines in the wine. I saw all of those wineries. Stag's Leap. I saw Stag's Leap. Yeah. I should have taken a picture and sent it to you.
You should have. That's my new jam.
But we went to Aonair, which was awesome. It was in the middle of the hills. Took forever to get up there. We went to Duckhorn, which is awesome. We went to Silverado, which was awesome. We went to Camus. Mm-hmm. Camus is a pretty big one.
Yeah, that's a big one.
But 5 days is probably too much to be out in Napa, to be honest with you. It was fine just because I'd never been out there.
Yeah, what else do you do?
Go to dinner?
I should have bought my clubs.
With a ton of golf courses?
Well, I was staying right there. There's 36 holes right at Silverado.
Yeah.
I could have played golf, but I'd already shipped my clubs
back. Yeah, but you don't want to leave your wife and daughters.
Yeah, they could have ridden around with me. It would have been fine. Uh-huh. There was a bunch of people just playing by themselves or people, you know, walking with them. But there's just not much to do. You go to the winery, you go to the winery, and then you go to a restaurant.
Right.
And you spend, you know, $250.
Aren't you sick of eating out, like, by the end of the trip? You can't wait to kind of get home.
I ate too much red meat. At Pebble, I had short rib, filet.
It's fine. It's
good. I mean, it was good. It was good, but it was freaking, it was just too much red meat. But Napa was fine. Pebble was awesome. And my room at Casa Palmero. Mm-hmm. Which is the little hotel we stayed at Pebble. Raphael has a place. Had its own hot tub. So huge bathroom, huge living room. And you walk out the back door on the patio, hot tub.
Right.
Individual hot tub. I was in it 6 times a day.
Right.
It was awesome.
Man, that you lived like EB.
Man.
No fun with the wife in the hot tub.
She wasn't there. That was at Pebble. She wasn't there. But
maybe Carl.
Carl.
No wonder he got a driver for a 3-hour trip to Napa.
Yeah, that was. He took care of everything, man. He was unbelievable. But it was fun. But 9 days away, it was a lot. It was a lot.
I'm sure you were psyched.
And
when
the flight back was awful because I was in row 30.
Yeah. Oh, he didn't give you the commoner. He didn't give you the first class on the way back.
No, because I was flying back with the girls. Yeah, he just flew me out one way. And no, I did not fly first class on the way back.
Right,
but it was overall it was a good trip. But it's good to be back.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
And on Saturday we were the very first tee time at Pebble.
Mm-hmm.
It was dark.
Did you
our
feel
tee time
pressure?
Was at 6:20. Right?
You worried you were going to fall off the cliff?
You couldn't see anything.
Uh-huh.
And they said, you can't tee off until 6:20 because they know exactly when the sun comes up. And the other guys that I was with are doing double Bloody Marys at like 5:45.
Right.
I said, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
How can you drink double Bloody Marys at 5:45?
They're conscious by the 18th hole.
I mean, they are, but they're hammered by, you know, 9 o'clock.
Right.
We got to be playing horrible golf at that point.
Do you feel pressure when you're the first one off? Because you don't want to slow down the whole golf course. Do you feel pressure?
It was just us. It was we had 6:20 and 6:30.
You could definitely hit breakfast balls.
Yeah, we had 6:20 and 6:30.
I know, but you had guys behind you, though. The whole
We played quick.
You played quick, no problem.
Oh, yeah, we played quick. So my man Carl likes to play in about 3.5 hours. So
really?
We played quick.
You guys fly.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Well, sounds like a great trip.
All right. Well, you're back and NFL's back. Mm-hmm. When we come back, we'll talk more NFL and wondering, after watching the Commanders in the first preseason game and watching Jaden Daniels look pretty damn good, are your expectations shifting for this team? We'll tackle that next here on the Junk.
All right. So what do you think now? Everybody watched Jaden. Everybody was tuned in. If you didn't catch it live, you saw the highlights. It was only one drive. You don't want to get too carried away. But did that first initial glimpse, that one drive,
get you
kind of raise your expectations a little bit? I'll say for me it did. I don't know if that means more wins or whatever, but it solidified that I feel more confident that we've got our guy, and then I feel more confident that we're going to have a fighting chance every week.
I think you have to feel that way.
Yeah.
Now, we've watched a lot of football. We know the tide can turn on guys. We saw that last year with Sam Howell. Yeah. There was a brief
Sam looked
period
that way
of
for
time
half the season, I thought.
Where even Terry McLaurin was selling you, we've got our quarterback. And midway through the season, if you looked at his stats and you'd watched him play, you're like, maybe they do. And then the tide turned, you saw the second half of the season, you're like, no, they need somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that could happen with Jaden Daniels. The difference, in my opinion, and Cakes is a draft snob, like where you get drafted is, and I'm a bit like that. The expectations are different for Jaden Daniels and Sam Howell because of his college resume, because he was drafted number two. This is what he's supposed to be. And the thing which I don't think anybody slept on, but just seeing it, that jumps out to me, it's not as much the pass. It's that speed, man. I think he's going to run for 800 yards this year.
If he stays healthy, that's a real possibility.
That the read option with him is going to be deadly. Because if he does that, all right, he did that on whatever, the 4-yard line. If he does that on first and 10 from their 30, he could go 70.
Right. Yeah, but I think all that
he could go 70. And I know that's only going to be a couple plays this year where he has really long runs. But I think he's going to have a ton of first downs on that. And then that's going to open up the pass.
Right, but...
Well, what if the pocket breaks down and he's just scrambling? He can scramble.
Well,
he can
go for 30. What's going to happen. But JP's point is, that's fine. I agree with all that. His speed is going to blow people away. But I already knew that. What I wasn't still convinced about was just the throwing. You know, I just wanted to see it at the next level. And that throw to me was a freaking dime, right on time. It was everything that everybody had said. And so I was more concerned with the arm talent than I was the legs. I know he has the legs. And I've had quarterbacks here that have had the legs, but they haven't had the combination. He seems to have the combination, and that's what's so exciting.
800-636-1067. We want to hear from you. Your expectations shouldn't be raised too much, but you can't help but kind of...
That's the way fans
form opinions,
are.
Opinions, you know, even that. After just three passes and one drive.
All you've heard, it got to the point where Valdez was even saying, Valdez was kind of hating on it at first, I think. Just, I'm not attacking you. All you heard was glowing from coaches behind the scenes, journalists, everybody's going. And at some point, you got to start to think, well, maybe it's true, right? Valdez and I had that conversation last week. You know, you're starting to think that it's true. And then he came out there and just produced on that one drive, and it just kind of calmed you and said, yeah, I think we got our guy. It was super exciting.
Well,
so
even
for
if
me,
he,
it definitely
even,
raised
even if he didn't throw that pass to Diami, you still have to say we have our guy.
Yeah, when you draft
sure,
number
but
two.
I wanted even, to see something.
Yeah,
and
I
saw what I needed to see.
No,
literally,
I understand
that's all I
that.
Needed to see.
But again, it was just such a small sample size. But fans are going to go crazy because that's the way this town is. They did it with RG. That
well, I don't think I'm going crazy. I think
no, I'm maybe not you, but and I think that he is the guy. He's got to be the guy. I mean, if you draft him 2 overall, he's got to be the guy. But you just got to pump the brakes a little bit because it was one series against a lot of backups.
Well, I don't think
in the preseason.
I'm not changing anything other than I do think we have a fighting chance every week.
Yeah,
which we didn't necessarily have.
The
before.
Fact that his legs are an added dynamic and added weapon is huge. It really
it's
is.
It's humongous.
It is.
Yeah, but we've had that before. He's just
You're right.
And look what happened. They made the playoffs. It was basically the last super successful season.
Right.
But 2012, how many times have you said 2012 is the best year I've had in decades?
It's true. But I never doubted the legs. I never doubted that. That's a given. He's going to fly whenever, given the opportunity, whatever, however they do it.
Yeah, but you even said last week you were sleeping on, and it still remains to be seen, on how much they may use him with designed runs.
I guess. I just thought it would be more stuff breaks down and take off. But sure, if they design him, who cares? He's going to run. I know that. I don't think he's going to have like 100 rushing yards. No, he's going to run. There's no doubt. But what
well, I
was
think
concerned.
He'll have games with 100 rushing yards.
No, I'm saying overall. Like yeah. I know he's going to run.
Yeah.
But I was concerned, is he the arm talent that we think? And I think he is.
But you watched the highlights. You watched games. I mean,
it's hard to
I can
translate.
Throw.
It's hard to translate.
The part which will be hard to find out is once he starts seeing, you know, real defenses with starters, his processing. The encouraging thing is they say even on that go route, there were seven men in the box. He recognized that. Maybe Cliff said something to him in his ear and said, you can check out of that. And he checked out of it.
Well, they've been supposedly telling him all camp.
Right.
If you see this, check out of it. If you see this, check out, whatever.
But those are all the reports. I mean, we talked about it last week. people say, and Quinn said this last week, that he's most impressed with his processing, that he's going to the right place.
It's so underappreciated how experienced he is, right? 5 years in college. That I think it's huge for a quarterback. You know, they hold that against basketball guys. Yeah. Oh, he's, you know, he played 4 years, 5 years of, you know, they hold it against them. I think in the NFL, it's a huge advantage,
yeah,
especially at the quarterback position.
Experience.
He's seen it all, and he's seen it at the highest level. And I don't know. It was an important test. I wasn't going to get too down. I said going into the game, you weren't here, Jason, that if he does something awful, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to hold it against him,
mm-hmm.
but I would like to see something good,
something big,
and I'll take something from that.
Yeah,
and
I did enjoy it.
So, but he's going to make mistakes. He's going to throw interceptions. He's going to have fumbles. He's going to get sacked. He's going to make bad decisions. We all know that. But I think that there's going to be a lot of great stuff in there too.
And I would agree with
that. Exciting.
The thing you have to remember is he's going to be playing once he opens up in week one down in Tampa. He's going to be playing against number ones for four quarters, not just one series, backups.
I do think that we're going to have an issue with the offensive line, though. I do think that it's not solved.
I think it's better than it was last year, but
it's going to be an issue.
It still could be a problem, especially if you start getting injuries.
Here's a question we kicked around last week, Jason, when you weren't here. And we've really kind of talked about it ever since they drafted him. You guys were riding me because I said they could be like the Texans this year. Mm-hmm. I like to point out the Colts were on the precipice of the playoffs too, that there are teams, six or seven, that don't make the playoffs every year that make the playoffs next year.
Mm-hmm.
Does Jason William Bishop believe the Commanders could surprise people and be that Cinderella team that could make it all the way to the playoffs?
Just based off of what Daniels did in
plays? Sure, based on your boy Dan Quinn.
Well, based on everything, based on their offseason acquisitions, based on the coaching staff.
Well, no, because I predicted 7 wins. And I don't,
okay, but
7 wins is not going to get you to the playoffs.
Are you still like your 7-win prediction?
I think those first six are going to be very difficult for a rookie quarterback and a new roster because three of the four are on the road, and then when you come back and play at home, you're playing Cleveland and Baltimore. I think that's going to be tough. It's going to kind of depends on what they do in that first six. But no, I'm not predicting playoffs, but I think they're going to be much better than last year, which isn't saying much.
I don't see why we can't beat New York, Arizona, and Cleveland.
All right, we'll come back, take your calls.
You could, but I'm not saying that they won't. But I'm not saying that they're going to go 4-2 in the first six.
I want to revisit what I picked.
We can do that.
I want to revisit what I picked, and we want to hear from you if you have changed your sort of your thoughts, your expectations on the season. 800-636-1067. We'll bang out your calls. We'll go through some of our predictions, see where we stand. We'll do all that when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
John.
All right. So what do you think now? Everybody watched Jaden. Everybody was tuned in. If you didn't catch it live, you saw the highlights. It was only one drive. You don't want to get too carried away. But did that first initial glimpse, that one drive,
get you
kind of raise your expectations a little bit? I'll say for me, it did. I don't know if that means more wins or whatever, but it solidified that I feel more confident that we've got our guy, and then I feel more confident that we're going to have a fighting chance every week.
I think you have to feel that way.
Yeah.
Now, we've watched a lot of football. We know the tide can turn on guys. We saw that last year with Sam Howell. Yeah. There was a brief period
that way for half the season, I thought.
Where even Terry McLaurin was selling you, we've got our quarterback. And midway through the season, if you looked at his stats and you'd watched him play, you're like, maybe they do. And then the tide turned, you saw the second half of the season, you're like, no, they need somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that could happen with Jaden Daniels. The difference, in my opinion, and Cakes is a draft snob, like where you get drafted is, and I'm a bit like that. The expectations are different for Jaden Daniels and Sam Howell because of his college resume, because he was drafted number two. This is what he's supposed to be. And the thing which I don't think anybody slept on, but just seeing it, that jumps out to me, it's not as much the pass, It's that speed, man. I think he's going to run for 800 yards this year.
If he stays healthy, that's a real possibility.
That the read option with him is going to be deadly. Because if he does that, all right, he did that on whatever, the 4-yard line. If he does that on 1st and 10 from their 30, mm-hmm. he could go 70.
Right. Yeah, but I think all that
he could go 70. And I know that's only going to be a couple plays this year where he has really long runs, but I think he's going to have a ton of first downs on that. And then that's going to open up the pass.
Right, but
well, what if the pocket breaks down and he's just scrambling? He can scramble.
Well,
he can go for 30.
That's what's going to happen. But JP's point is that's fine. I agree with all that. His speed is going to blow people away. But I already knew that. What I wasn't still convinced about was just the throwing. You know, I just wanted to see it at the next level. And that throw to me was a freaking dime, right on time. It was everything that everybody had said. And so I was more concerned with the arm talent than I was the legs. I know he has the legs. And I've had quarterbacks here that have had the legs, but they haven't had the combination. He seems to have the combination, and that's what's so exciting.
800-636-1067. We want to hear from you. Your expectations shouldn't be raised too much, but you can't help but kind of...
That's the way fans
are. Form opinions, even after just 3 passes and 1 drive.
All you've heard, it got to the point where Valdez was kind of hating on it at first, I think. Just, I'm not attacking you. All you heard was glowing from coaches behind the scenes, journalists, everybody's going. And at some point, you got to start to think, well, maybe it's true, right? Valdez and I had that conversation last week. You're starting to think that it's true. And then he came out there and just produced on that one drive, and it just kind of calmed you and said, yeah, I think we got our guy. It was super exciting.
Well,
so
even
for
if
me,
he,
it definitely
even if he didn't throw that pass to Diami, you still have to say we have our guy.
Yeah, when you draft
sure,
number
but
two.
I wanted even, to see something.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
saw what I needed to see.
No,
literally,
I understand
that's all I needed to see.
But again, it was just such a small sample size. But fans are going to go crazy because that's the way this town is. They did it with RG.
Well, I don't think I'm going crazy. I think
maybe not you, but I think that he is the guy. He's got to be the guy. I mean, if you draft him 2 overall, he's got to be the guy. But you just got to pump the brakes a little bit because it was one series against a lot of backups.
Well, I don't think
preseason.
I'm not changing anything other than I do think we have a fighting chance every week.
Yeah,
which we didn't necessarily have.
The fact that his legs are an added dynamic and added weapon is huge. It really
is. It's humongous.
It is.
Yeah, but we've had that before. He's just
You're right.
And look what happened. They made the playoffs. It was basically the last super successful season.
Right. But
2012, how many times have you said 2012 is the best year I've had in decades?
It's true. But I never doubted the legs. I never doubted that. That's a given. He's going to fly whenever, given the opportunity, whatever, however
they
do it.
Yeah, but you even said last week you were sleeping on, and it still remains to be seen, on how much they may use him with designed runs.
I guess. I just thought it would be more stuff breaks down and take off. But sure, if they design him, who cares? He's going to run. I know that. I don't think he's going to have like 100 rushing yards. No, he's going to run. There's no doubt. But what
I
was concerned...
I think he'll have games with 100 rushing yards.
No, I'm saying overall. Like, yeah. I know he's going to run.
Yeah.
But I was concerned, is he the arm talent that we think? And I think he is.
But you watched the highlights. You watched games. I mean,
it's hard to
translate.
It's hard to translate.
The part which will be hard to find out is once he starts seeing, real defenses with starters, his processing. The encouraging thing is they say even on that go route, there were seven men in the box. He recognized that. Maybe Cliff said something to him in his ear and said, you can check out of that. And he checked out of it.
Well, they've been supposedly telling him all camp.
Right.
If you see this, check out of it. If you see this, check out, whatever.
But those are all the reports. I mean, we talked about it last week. People say, and Quinn said this last week, that he's most impressed with his processing, that he's going to the right place.
It's so underappreciated how experienced he is, right? 5 years in college. That I think it's huge for a quarterback. They hold that against basketball guys.
Yeah.
Oh, he played 4 years, 5 years of that they hold it against them. I think in the NFL, it's a huge advantage, especially at the quarterback position.
Experience.
He's seen it all, and he's seen it at the highest level. And I don't know. It was an important test. I wasn't going to get too down. I said going into the game, you weren't here, Jason, that if he does something awful, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to hold it against him. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see something good.
Something big.
And I'll take something from that.
Yeah. I did enjoy it.
But he's going to make mistakes. He's going to throw interceptions. He's going to have fumbles. He's going to get sacked. He's going to make bad decisions. We all know that. But I think that there's going to be a lot of great stuff in there, too.
And I would agree with
that. Exciting.
The thing you have to remember is he's going to be playing, once he opens up in week one down in Tampa, he's going to be playing against number ones for four quarters, not just one series, backups.
I do think that we're going to have an issue with the offensive line, though. I do think that it's not solved.
I think it's better than it was last year, but it's
going to be an issue.
It still could be a problem, especially if you start getting injuries.
Here's a question we kicked around last week, Jason, when you weren't here. And we've really kind of talked about it ever since they drafted him. You guys were riding me because I said they could be like the Texans this year. Mm-hmm. I like to point out the Colts were on the precipice of the playoffs too, that there are teams, six or seven, that don't make the playoffs every year that make the playoffs next year.
Mm-hmm.
Does Jason William Bishop believe the Commanders could surprise people and be that Cinderella team that could make it all the way to the playoffs?
Just based off of what Daniels did in plays?
Sure, based on your boy Dan Quinn.
Well, based on everything. Based on their offseason acquisitions. Yeah. Based on the coaching staff.
Well, no, because I predicted 7 wins. And
but
7 wins is not going to get you to the playoffs.
Are you still like your 7-win prediction?
I think those first six are going to be very difficult for a rookie quarterback and a new roster. Because 3 of the 4 are on the road. And then when you come back and play at home, you're playing Cleveland and Baltimore. I think that's going to be tough. It's going to kind of depends on what they do in that first six. But no, I'm not predicting playoffs, but I think they're going to be much better than last year, which isn't saying much.
I don't see why we can't beat New York, Arizona, and Cleveland.
All right, we'll come back, take your calls.
I don't see why
you could, but I'm not saying that they won't, but I'm not saying that they're going to go 4-2 in the first six.
I want to revisit what I picked.
We can do that.
I want to revisit what I picked, and we want to hear from you if you have changed your sort of your thoughts, your expectations on the season. 800-636-1067. We'll bang out your calls. We'll go through some of our predictions, see where we stand. We'll do all that when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.